all, and welcome to the first part of our instructional series on basic policy debate. In this first episode, what we're going to do is we're going to look at a single policy debate and sort of walk through it step by step. My name is Alfred C. Snyder. I'm the Edwin W. Lawrence Professor at the University of Vermont, and I'll be taking you on this guided tour. We're going to be using footage, however, that comes from the sample debate for novices that we've included in this tape series. It involved the participation of four people who are involved in the University of Vermont debate program as a way to demonstrate for those who have never debated what a debate would be like.
Hi, my name is Greta Lockwood, and I will be your first affirmative speaker.
Hi, my name is Sarah Snyder, and I'll be the second affirmative speaker.
Hi, my name is Andy Ellis, and I'll be the first negative speaker.
And hello, my name is Helen Morgan, and I'll be the second negative speaker.
If you want to watch that debate at some time to get a feeling for what an actual debate sounds like and looks like, that would be a really good companion to this particular tape in which I'm going to step through the particular speeches and the actions that those people were involved in. As you know, the debate is between the affirmative team and the negative team. And the affirmative is made up of two individuals, they are partners, and the negative team is made up of two individuals who are also working together. And it's a unique situation because it's a competition between two teams, but it's also a cooperation between partners in an effort to win the debate. Each of the participants in the debate will give one constructive speech and one rebuttal speech. They will also be involved in cross-examination periods. They will ask questions of a member of the opposing team at some point in the debate, and they will answer questions from members of the opposing team at some point in the debate. So each student gets to participate four times: a constructive speech, a rebuttal speech, asking questions, and answering questions. This means that the debate is really about you and what you do and how you interact with other people. Welcome to the interactive world of intellectual debate. Now, there are two kinds of speeches that I mentioned: constructive speeches and rebuttal speeches. Constructive speeches are designed for each team to build their issues and to lay out in the debate the ideas and concepts that they want to advocate and they want to prove. Ideas and concepts which they feel support their side of the debate resolution. There is a topic, and the debate is about that topic. I assume that you'll be preparing to debate the National High School Debate Resolution, whatever it is. This year it happens to be on educational reform to increase academic achievement in secondary schools in the United States. The affirmative team needs to affirm that resolution. They say, yes, we should do this. And the negative team needs to negate that resolution by saying, no, we shouldn't. So in the constructive speeches, the two teams lay out their issues and their major concepts that they want to pursue in the debate. In the rebuttal speeches, the debaters literally duke it out over the arguments that have been presented. They answer each other's arguments. They continue to extend and develop their original arguments and try to establish that their arguments are superior to those of the other team. Cross-examination always involves one person asking questions and one person answering questions. And cross-examination is a time to clarify positions, to set up arguments, and a time to make you look good. Let's go into the first affirmative constructive speech then, and we'll talk about that for just a moment. The first affirmative constructive speech, we're going to call that the 1AC from now on. One standing for first, A standing for affirmative, and C standing for constructives. Generally, these speeches are 8 minutes long. Greta Lockwood is the student that we'll see in our footage who will be giving the first affirmative constructive speech. This speech is one in which the affirmative tries to establish their advocacy of the resolution. Usually, the affirmative tells a pretty basic story and probably one that you've heard before. They say there's a problem that exists now. They explain why that problem is continuing and why it's not being solved now. They then explain that they have a plan or a proposal to deal with that problem. And finally, they will explain how their plan or their proposal will solve that problem. Every basic first affirmative speech has the same kind of rhythm to it. They say there's a problem. They show that the problem's continuing today. They propose a solution for that problem, and then they claim that that particular plan or solution will actually reduce the existence of that problem. The first affirmative speech is a scripted speech. It was prepared before the debate ever started. It is the only scripted speech in the debate. Everything after that is off the top of your head, or off your flow sheet, or off your prepared arguments, but it's never a scripted speech after the first affirmative constructive. The first affirmative constructive is generally 8 minutes long in high school policy debate. After the first affirmative constructive, there is a cross-examination period. Usually, the second negative speaker cross-examines the first affirmative constructive speaker. If you're wondered, when will I be cross-examined, the answer is immediately after you speak. In our example, Helen Morgan will be cross-examining Greta Lockwood, asking her questions. Generally, in cross-examination, you're trying to get information from the other team. You're trying to get them to explain points they made that you didn't understand. You get them to say things that then you can use against them later in the debate. You trap them into making the kind of answers that help you. But perhaps most of all, you're showing the judge, and it's the judge who's really watching the debate, that you are an intelligent, polite, truth-seeking person, perhaps someone they would like to vote for. So that's generally what's happening in cross-examination, and you should try to be polite and cooperative. Cross-examination is 3 minutes long. We talked about the judge. Who is this judge? Generally, college and high school policy debates do not have audiences by some definition. They don't have a big bunch of people watching them because there's lots of them happening at once. And frankly, my students have found the fact that there's not a big audience there for their very first debate is often a good thing because you don't always get it perfect your first time through. Now, most of your debates will only be seen by a judge. The judge will be someone who hopefully is knowledgeable about debate, say a coach from a third school or a judge who knows about debate, who's been hired by the tournament to be the judge. That judge will listen to your arguments and try to render a fair and objective decision to vote for the team that she or he thought really won the debate, not based on their biases and their predilections, but based on how they think you argued the various issues in the debate. Well, we're now done with our cross-examination. The judge is enjoying it. The debate round's really starting to warm up. And now it's time for the first negative constructive speech, or the 1NC, the first speech delivered by the negative. This speech, also being a constructive speech, is 8 minutes long. Andy Ellis is the one who performs that function in our sample debate, and he does a couple of basic things, but there's more than that that could have been done. Generally, the first negative constructive speaker will make an attempt to attack the affirmative case, to disagree with them, to say, no, there is not a problem, or to say that their plan will not solve the problem, that there are other things that preclude the plan from solving the problem. So the first negative speaker will argue against the affirmative case. The first negative speaker may also introduce other negative issues, sort of their playing pieces in this game of debate. The affirmative presents their case, the negative responds to it, but the negative also brings up major issues that they think need to be discussed in the debate. Probably the most common is an argument called the disadvantage. And the disadvantage argues that if we do the affirmative plan, some bad thing will happen. Now, in the sample debate that we've provided, what the negative argues is that if students are forced to wear uniforms in school, that this will infringe on their freedom of expression, that clothing and attire are important ways in which young people express themselves, and they should have that freedom to dress as they wish. And that's the negative disadvantage that they are arguing, saying that school uniforms will cause this problem and reduce the ability of students to express themselves through their personal attire. Well, there are several other basic issues that the negative will bring up in the debate. And we'll be talking about those more when Justin and I will be visiting with you, talking about stock issues. You'll hear more about these kinds of arguments. But I just want to mention them at this point because they're arguments that the negative might introduce. The negative might argue, for example, that the affirmative team is not topical, that they are not an example of the resolution. The topic, as you know, states the grounds for the debate. We're supposed to debate about the topic. And when the affirmative shows up and instead of wanting to talk about academic achievement, starts talking about water pollution, well, they're certainly at a competitive advantage over the negative team who prepared to debate about high school academics, not about water pollution, but they're not fulfilling the basic assignment. They're not debating about the topic that they were given. Here's an analogy that is usually pretty easy for students to understand. If I was in your U.S. history class, and I was the teacher, and I told you to write an essay on the War of 1812, and if you wrote an essay on the Vietnam War, when turned that in, I would probably give you an F because you had not written or presented information about the topic that was assigned. So topicality is a negative argument that they can make that says that you're not meeting the assignment for the debate, which is to debate about the topic, and therefore the affirmative team should lose. Two other arguments I want to mention as issues that the negative team might introduce in the debate. One is the idea of a counterplan or a counterproposal. The affirmative has their plan. They say, there's a problem now and we need to adopt our plan. Well, the negative, who usually defends the present system, the status quo, what we have now, doesn't necessarily have to do that. They could say, no, we should reject your plan and adopt our counterplan because it is a superior alternative. And we'll be talking about that later in this series as well. In fact, Jackie Massey and I will be spending about a half hour with you talking to you about what counterplans are. The final argument that the negative might make, or type of argument, of course there are an infinite number of arguments, but these are the most common, is called a critique. A critique argument is one that brings a different perspective and says that the basic assumptions that the affirmative makes are either incorrect, evil, or both. For example, if the affirmative team says that they improve schooling and its ability to teach people to be citizens, the negative might say, your assumption here is all wrong. You assume that when the school teaches people to obey the state, that that's good. In fact, it's not good. Schools produce a nation of slaves to do whatever the government wants. A radical example, perhaps, but it's the kind of argument that is often made as a critique, in that it questions the basic assumptions that the affirmative has, argues that they are incorrect, evil, or both. So all of those things offer themselves as an option for the first negative constructive speech. Following that, there is cross-examination. Once again, the cross-examination period is 3 minutes long, and we see that Greta Lockwood was cross-examining Andy Ellis, and in doing so, she is trying to get information, trying to understand Andy's arguments, trying to get him to make admissions that she can use later in the debate to help the affirmative argument. A very important thing about cross-examination and what you get out of it, when you gain an important admission or something you want to use, make sure to mention it in your speech. Just having the judge hear about it in cross-examination is not necessarily enough. You need to, if you can, bring that up in your speech, make an argument in your speech about something that came up in cross-examination. Well, that cross-examination period is over. Greta Lockwood was cross-examining Andy Ellis. And now it's time for the second affirmative constructive speech. The second affirmative constructive speech in the debate you're seeing is Sarah Snyder, who, by the way, happens to be my daughter. She delivers the second affirmative constructive, or I think we could just call it the 2AC for the second affirmative constructive, which is 8 minutes long. Her job in this speech is to defend the affirmative case, to answer all the attacks that the first negative offered, to provide a rebuilding of the affirmative case, new arguments, new evidence, and developing the affirmative case further. The other thing the second affirmative constructive has to do is to try to answer all of the major negative arguments, to try to answer all of the major negative arguments. That's one thing about a debate. An academic policy debate is so much different than a presidential debate or a debate you'll see on TV where politicians are constantly dodging the issues. Not possible in a policy debate. You must answer the major arguments that your opponents are making. It's the only way to win the debate. And when you don't answer their arguments, you lose. That's why it's very important for the second affirmative constructive speech, the 2AC, to answer all of the negative arguments. One of the techniques that the affirmative will be using, and one of the most important argumentative artifacts of policy debate, is an argument called the turn. The turn. Perhaps you've heard the expression, turn the tables. I'm going to turn the tables on you. What that means is, when you turn the tables on someone, they are no longer in an advantaged position over you. You are in the advantaged position over them. So when you turn an argument, you take an idea, and no longer does it mean that you lose the debate. You turn it around and use it against your opponents and prove that it helps you to win the debate. One example would be a disadvantage. If someone says the affirmative plan causes a specific problem, let's say the argument is that the affirmative plan costs a lot of money, and this means that other programs within the schools will have to be cut. So valuable programs like art education will be cut if we spend money. This would be an argument of a disadvantage. The affirmative plan spends money. That money will have to come out of other parts of school. It will come from art education, and art education is wonderful and valuable. The affirmative could turn this argument by simply saying that if you adopt the affirmative plan, it will save money. We will have more money after the plan than we do now, which means we would have more money for other programs and more money for art education. One of the best techniques you can learn from policy debating is to turn the arguments that people use against you. And later in life, you can take advantage of it. You can turn the arguments of your opponents, of the opposing attorney, of the opposing salesperson, of the opposing advocate, of your parents, of your business associates. And turns are powerful things, and you can develop those in the context of your debating experience. Debating builds personal power. That's why it's worth it. It makes you able to use your ideas and your voice to get what you want and to make a difference in the world. And that's what it's all about. At this point, Sarah is done giving the second affirmative constructive, and Andy Ellis cross-examines her for 3 more minutes. So now we've had both affirmative constructive speeches. After the cross-examination period, it's time for the second negative constructive speech. Now, the second negative constructive speech, or the 2NC, is the last constructive speech of the debate. One thing you'll also notice is that there are 2 negative speeches in a row. It's very important for the negative speakers to work out their division of labor, or else they would just repeat themselves, which would not be very strategic and not very interesting. So generally what happens is the second negative constructive speech, which is 8 minutes long, will take some of the issues in the debate and develop them as completely as possible with the argument that this means the negative is winning the debate. Now, following the second negative constructive speech, 8 minutes, there will be another cross-examination period. In this cross-examination, the second affirmative speaker, which is Sarah, will cross-examine Helen, who was the second negative constructive speaker. Now we're into the 4 rebuttal speeches. The first rebuttal speech is the first negative rebuttal, and that's 5 minutes long. Notice, as I said, there are 2 negative speeches in a row. In the first negative rebuttal, that speaker, which is Andy Ellis in our debate, will take some part of the debate that he wants to focus on and focus on that during his speech. But he will not talk about the same thing that his partner, Helen, talked about. That way they can maximize their attack and pressure on the affirmative. The first negative rebuttal then, 5 minutes long, completes the division of labor and completes two negative speeches in a row. The term for this is the negative block. Two negative speeches in a row. Well, after that, it's time for the first affirmative rebuttal speech, or the 1AR. The first affirmative rebuttal is 5 minutes long, but it's quite a challenge. Greta Lockwood gave the first affirmative rebuttal in our demonstration debate. Basically, she has 5 minutes to answer what the negative said in their first negative rebuttal of 5 minutes and in their second negative constructive of 8 minutes. She has to answer 13 minutes of arguments in 5 minutes. It's difficult, but it can be done. It teaches you word economy, how to express yourself simply and directly and efficiently. It also forces the affirmative to separate the important issues from the unimportant issues. It forces you to choose what the important ideas are. And that's one of the great strengths that you get out of debate. There are lots of ideas in the world. What you need to be able to do is to pick out the good ideas and the important ideas and focus on those. Well, we have two more speeches left in the debate, 2 5-minute rebuttals, the final negative speech and the final affirmative speech. Both of these speeches are a little alike in that they involve summarizing the debate, boiling it down to the most important issues, and then convincing the judge that your issues are the most important and they're the ones that should cause you to win the debate. The second negative rebuttal comes up, and it is 5 minutes long. We see Helen Morgan giving that second negative rebuttal. She is selecting the winning issues. She is weighing them for the judge. On a cost-benefit analysis, she is explaining why the negative arguments are more important than the affirmative case and how the affirmative case has fallen victim to some excellent negative argumentation. The final speech in the debate is the second affirmative rebuttal speech, or the 2AR, and it is also 5 minutes in length. Sarah Snyder gives the 2AR in our sample debate on school uniforms. What she does is she talks about the major issues in the debate. She evaluates why the affirmative perspective, that of her team's, is logically superior, and then she weighs the issues and explains why, on balance, as you look at all the issues in the debate, you would want to opt for the affirmative and vote to adopt the affirmative plan. At that point, the debate is over. The judge makes their decision. Usually the judge makes the decision without interacting a lot with the debaters, may ask to see something that you read in the debate, but will basically look at his or her and her notes and decide who they thought won the debate. During the debate, there's something called preparation time, which I want to mention to you. Now, different leagues and different situations have different standards for preparation time. Some 5, some 8 minutes, some 10 minutes. But in any case, each team is given a certain amount of preparation time that they can use before their speeches in the debate. And let's say you have 8 minutes of preparation time. That means you get to use 8 minutes of time before you have to stand up and speak. But that's the total amount that you can use in the debate. Usually, you want to try to conserve your preparation time so you can use it later in the debate when you really need it to figure out how you're going to win and how you're going to deal with the negatives arguments and how you're going to sell it to the judge. After the debate's over, usually you shake hands with your opponents. You're polite. You just had a good discussion with them. You congratulate them. And then you wait to see if the judge has any comments. The judge may or may not decide to announce their decision in the debate. In any case, the judge will fill out a ballot. The ballot will say which team won and which team lost. The ballot will also give each of the students in the debate a quality rating. The judge will assign points from 1 to 30, with 30 being best. The judge will assign those quality points. Then the judge will rank the speakers in the debate, rank them 1, 2, 3, 4 in terms of best speaker, second best speaker, third best speaker in the debate. If the judge has comments, then you should listen carefully, perhaps take notes. You might want to ask questions, but it's very important for you to be polite and cooperative with the judge. The judge may announce their decision. They may even, oh no, vote against you. Remember, you can discuss the decision with the judge, but be a gracious winner, be a gracious loser, because we all win with the intellectual exercise of modern policy debate. So what we've seen is that a debate, it takes place between two teams on different sides of a topic, that there are four constructive speeches and there are four rebuttal speeches. Constructives are 8 minutes long, rebuttals are 5 minutes long. After each constructive speech, there's a 3-minute cross-examination period, and so there are four cross-examination periods in the debate. We've seen that there are two negative speeches back-to-back, the negative block, and the negative speakers want to cooperate to make sure they don't repeat each other in that. We've seen that in the four rebuttal speeches, that's where the intellectual combat takes place over who is winning which issues. And in the final two rebuttals, the debaters try to summarize the major arguments in the debate, boil it down to the important ones, and then persuade the judge that their ideas and arguments are better than those of their opponents. We see that you should try to be cooperative and polite to your opponents and to the judge, and make sure that you learn as much as possible out of debate. It's a fabulous educational experience, which doesn't involve you being passive, it involves you being active, of you speaking, of you making sure that people can listen to you. I hope you'll enjoy academic debating, and I hope that you'll stick with us through this instructional series as we go step by step. But don't be afraid to start debating as soon as possible. The real way to learn about debating is by debating itself. Stand up, don't be afraid to debate, use your voice, find your voice, and I think you'll have fun. Thanks a lot for watching. We'll see you down the road. Don't give up.